Good morning. This is Pastor Townsend from Calvary Bible Church in Stratton, Maine, and I hope today that you've come seeking something from the Lord. You know, we're living in some troublous times right now, but God is still on the throne, and so I know and understand why today we're doing this. This is the first time. If I seem a little bit nervous or whatever, it's because it's kind of strange looking at a camera instead of a group of people. And I really miss you folks today. I wish you could be here. It's just such a blessing. I haven't shaken a hand in a while, and I'm looking forward to the day we can do that again. But right now, we want to be safe, and of course, we also want to honor the things that are going on so we can protect those that we love, realizing that still God is on the throne, and we have nothing to fear. This morning, I'm going to be in Psalm 46, so if you go ahead and take your Bibles, and if you'll find your place there, we'll begin by reading the first verse, and we'll read down through verse 11. And we're just going to share some scripture this morning to help us, hopefully to encourage us, help us to know that God is there for us, and He loves us and cares for us, and He's not going to leave us. So if you would, take your Bibles into Psalm 46, and I'll begin reading. You follow along through verse 11. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen rage, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Let's bow and have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning realizing that you are this almighty, this great God, the God who created everything, the God that's on the throne today, the God that is there for us, the God that has a desire and loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross, that the people on this earth would turn to you, realizing there's nothing they can do but trust you and your plan and put their faith and trust in Jesus. We thank you so much for the Word of God this morning. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you for your love for us, and the fact that you care for us, and that you want the best for us. Father, we know that during troublous times, sometimes we get afraid, we get discouraged. There are things that we get timid about. But Father, we know that you're on the throne and you're there for us. And I pray this morning that would be the case for all those that are listening in, for all our church members, again, that they are reminded that you love them and that God is our refuge and our strength and is a very help and the time, a very present help in the time of trouble. Now, Father, have your way. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this, we're thinking about the things that are going on today. A lot of situations are happening. I'm reminded that life is a journey. For Christians, it's a journey that has a purpose and a plan. Of course, there's a beginning and an end to that. The beginning is the day when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And, of course, the end of that is when you meet your Lord and Savior finally at the very end of life. But you know what? There's a middle. There's a part there that we must live. And the Lord has given us the strength, and He's given us many tools to help us to do that in this lifetime. He's given us the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. He's given us other believers to help us as well and to encourage us. And as we journey through this life, we are here for a purpose, and that purpose is to help others see Jesus Christ with our lifestyles, with the things that we talk about, helping to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in these times. There are a lot of folks that just don't know what to do. They have no hope. They're scared. They're frightened. we shouldn't be. But as we look at this, we're going to talk about this. Someone once said that a Christian is a mind through which Christ thinks, a heart through which Christ loves, a voice through which Christ speaks, and a hand through which Christ helps. And that's true, is it not? That's who we are, or should be. And so this morning I want to just bring a message to you very simply. It's God is our refuge. And as I think about that, I think about what God has done in my life and others, and I'm just looking to Him, and especially these times of troubles. And that's what this psalm is about. It's broken up into three parts. The first three verses, it talks about God is our refuge, our strength, that very present help in time of trouble. But it also talks about God's deliverance to Israel in the past. But it's also God's deliverance for us today. And then the last three verses, it talks about our great Savior who is supreme. And as we look at these things, I want us to think about this morning and the conditions and the situations that you're going through. I know many folks out there are struggling, but we shouldn't be. We should rely on the Lord no matter what happens, no matter what the situation. So the first point is our refuge. As we look at verse 1 through 3 again, I'm going to read those again and share with you. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, Selah. So as you look at that verse and you understand that, what it's telling us and teaching us is that God is on the throne. He is our refuge. That word God you see there, that is the word in the Hebrew of Elohim. It's talking about the plurality of the supreme God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And this morning, we can trust Him with our very lives. We can trust Him on this earth today as we're walking and living in these times, these very troublous times. So He's our refuge. That word refuge means our shelter. It's translated as hope. It's translated as trust. Of course, refuge and shelter. And so He is our shelter. Think about that. In times of storm, in times of trouble, in the analogy of maybe a thunderstorm or something, we want to get under shelter. We want to find protection. That's what God is for us today. He is our protection. He's there to help us and to guide us and direct us in these things. This word refuge is mentioned two other times in this passage. In verse 7 and verse 11, verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And that very verse is repeated again in verse 11. So He is our refuge to those that fear Him, to those who have a desire to walk with Him. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26, it says, in the fear, reverence, if you will, of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. You know, the refuge is for those who fear God. It's those that have that relationship and have put their faith and trust in Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 11 through 12, it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And that's talking about Israel. But it says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You see, Paul, in his writings as well as in John's writings, he reminds us of this very thing, that we have a refuge, and that refuge is in Jesus. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Hebrews for a second. Hold your place in Psalm 46, but turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6. I'll give you a second to get there, but here Paul is just sharing some things here in the book of Hebrews, and again, I believe Paul is the writer of this. Maybe others may dispute that, and that's fine, but there's nothing to contend about that for sure, but I just want to share with you what Paul is sharing with us about this fact that Jesus is our refuge. If you'll follow along, look at verse 17, and we'll begin reading down through verse 20. It says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Now, that verse tells us He's talking to those that are the heirs, those that are children of God, and He's telling us there's a promise that cannot change. That's what that word immutability means. He says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. That's the comfort. I believe that may be even be a reference to the Holy Spirit. It says, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. He says there's a refuge for us. What is that? Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever at the order of Melchizedek. It is Jesus who is our refuge. It is Jesus we can go to. Today, if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if there's been a time in your life that you put your faith and trust in Jesus, realizing you were lost, realizing you couldn't do anything to earn your way, to have a relationship with a holy God, and at that point you called on Him and you asked Him to save you, realizing that your sins kept you apart, you repented or turned toward God, and you asked Him to save you, then you had that relationship established. And when you did that, at the moment you did that, He gave you the Comforter. He gave you the Comforter that indwells in you, that's going to guide you and direct you in this life. And that's what we have today. We have a refuge we can go to no matter what. We can go seek Jesus and find Him. But not only is He our refuge, He says He's our strength. This word is the Hebrew word ooz or O-Z-E. I'm not sure how to pronounce that exactly. It means strength in various applications. It means strength in force, security, majesty, praise. In Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. Today, we have a God that loves us. We have a God that cares for us. He's our refuge, but also He's our strength. He's going to undergird us. He's going to lift us up, and He's going to guide and direct us. And He will do that if we will just trust Him. And that's what He's trying to teach us. But not only is He our refuge and He is our strength, but He's also our help in time of trouble. That word trouble means tightness. You know, it's that old adage between a rock and a hard place. Most of us have been in those situations in many different ways. But, you know, when we get in those situations, that's when we can go to the Lord and we can trust Him. Psalm 145, 17 through 20, the psalmist pens these words. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but the wicked He will destroy. So here, when we come to a situation where we're overwhelmed, discouraged, in that position of tightness, when we just don't know how to get out of it, that's when we can call God. Call unto Him and ask Him, help! And He's there. It reminds me of Peter when he jumped out of the boat and he was walking on the water. He said, is it you, Lord? Then bid me come. And of course, the Lord said, come. And Peter jumped out of the water and he was walking on the water. And then he looked around at his circumstances. He saw the storm. And all of a sudden, he began to sink. And he said this one word, help! And the Lord Jesus Christ took his hand and picked him up and put him in the boat. We can do that today. We can go to God and we can say, help, and He will help us. Look at our passage again in Psalm 46. In verse 2, excuse me here, he reminds us, he says, therefore will not we fear. And what that means is we're not going to fear because we have a refuge, because we have God as our strength and our help, that we don't have anything to fear. He goes on, he lists these things. He says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. He's saying, through all of this, we don't have to fear. There's nothing to fear. And sometimes we think, really? Are you serious? Yes. Why? Because we have a great God. We know the beginning. We know the end. We know what God is wanting to do in our lives and what He's going to do. And we can trust Him for that. In 1933, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he stated in his inaugural speech that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. You know, this is true. We don't have anything to fear but fear itself. And we don't have to fear fear. Why? Because we have trust in the Lord. You see, for the Christians, we don't have to be afraid of death. 2 Corinthians 5:8 tells us, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The day that I take my last breath, I'm going to see the Lord face to face. Amen. So I don't have to be afraid of death. We don't have to be afraid of not having our necessities met. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And what he's talking about are the very things that the necessities of life, the food that we need, the raiment that we need. We can have that. We can count on that. God will do that for us. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Today we know as Christians, we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear our necessities. Why? Because we can trust in the Holy God. We can trust in the Word of God and believe what He says. But maybe, we're afraid of living. Maybe we're afraid of suffering. You know, I've said this many times, what's the worst thing that can happen to me? Die? Well, actually, that's the best thing that can happen to me. I think the worst thing that maybe could happen is to live and suffer through something, go through some kind of physical difficulty or maybe a financial thing. Those things are difficult. But you know, the fact is, we're called to do that. We're called to suffer for Christ. And suffering's a hard thing to do. It's not easy, and I'm not saying it is. But when we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can rely on Him and realize that He's our refuge, He's our strength, He is our help, then we can manage these things that come into our lives. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, Peter speaking about the power of God that we're kept by, he goes on and he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So what he's saying is there, yes, we will be suffering. There will be some struggles in this life. But we are called to live that life. Why? That it might change us. That it might make us more like Christ. You see, the Bible teaches us that we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. And what is His purpose? Is to glorify Him and that the world may know Jesus Christ. Today He lives and He wants others to live. And those that are born again, He has given us the message of life. And that is that Jesus Christ died for every individual, for whosoever. And today, that's what we're here for. So this is a tough time as we think about this. As we look at the first couple verses 2 and 3, here I think it's looking at some things that is talking about that though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, we can add to that. Though the stock market crashes. Ooh, that's tough, isn't it? Through disease that is among us. We're dealing with that now with the coronavirus. A lot of people are in a panic over this. And I understand that. We want to do what's best. And of course, we live our lives for others. So we want to make sure that we don't hurt anybody or ourselves come in contact with it and then spread it. We understand that. But that doesn't mean we have to fear it. That doesn't mean we run from it. That doesn't mean we go out and do foolish things either. It means we do prudent, wise things. And that's what we're doing here today. That's why there's nobody in the church, is because we want to follow the advice of our officials right now and just be prudent for a while. But this can't go on forever, obviously. And so we're looking to the day that we can come back together. Regardless, the fires rage, the earth or the land quakes, it happens all the time. Our response, or my response, is God is my refuge and strength, and a very present help in time of trouble. He's my refuge and strength, and a very present help in time of trouble. You see, you need to personalize it. Yes, He's ours, but He's mine. He's mine. You know, Paul spoke of this as well in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to ask you to turn there if you would. Romans chapter 8. And again, Paul was one of the disciples who has penned many of these letters, and really he's given us a lot of direction in our lives. He's helping us how to live this Christian life, and there's a lot of meat in here for us to gather, and if we'll just get in the Word of God and seek it out, it's there for us. But listen to what he says about this in Romans chapter 8, if you'll turn there and you find that place. I'm going to begin reading verse 31, and this is what he's talking about. The Christian life is, and it's what we're here for as we live this life. These things are going to come about us, but we don't have anything to fear. He says in verse 31, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" You know, that verse reminds me of James when he's talking about draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. It just reminds me that if we'll get close to God, the devil has no recourse but to flee for the very fact he doesn't see me, but he sees the great big God behind me. And I'm telling you, that's where we need to be. He goes on in verse 32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" He's saying, hey, God sent his son to die on the cross. You put your faith and trust in him. He's going to give you everything you need. He says in verse 33, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" These are rhetorical questions, and we know the answer is no one. He says, "Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor any, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You know, we can trust God for this. And it just requires faith. Salvation is by faith. Living is by faith. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. We want to follow him. See, we're living in some difficult times. The Lord said, as the days of Jonah, I think we're getting closer and closer to that. And as we think about this, we need to have the mind of Christ. And we get that from the Word of God. We need to have the power of Christ in our lives. And that's the Spirit of God indwelling us and being controlled by the Spirit. And we must remember that we want to follow Christ. You know, I want you to think about this. Ask yourself, where do the steps of Christ lead? Where do the steps of Christ lead? I was thinking about this the other day. I may have shared it with somebody, but the fact is they lead to the cross. If I'm following Jesus, my steps are leading to the cross. Now, we're not necessarily called to die physically, but we are called to die to self. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And what it is, it's learning to die to self, and it's learning to live for Christ. To trust him with what you have. Trust him with the life that he's called us to live. Trust him for the steps that are before us. Look to him. Let him guide and direct. So Christ, our God, is our refuge. But the second point I want to share with you this morning is that God is our rescue. You know, as this is written in Psalm 46, and if you're not there, turn back there. It was written at a time when the psalmist is reflecting on some things that happened in his life or others of Israel. And so we see at first, we see the fact that he's responding to the fact that God is our refuge. And this next little stanza, the four verses, is talking about the deliverance or our rescue, if you will. And this is what God has done for us already. It's already there. And that's this part of living that we have to look forward to and to trust, even on a daily basis, but especially as we get closer and closer to the time when we'll meet our Savior face to face. So he's our rescue. Look at verse 4 again in Psalm 46. It says, "There is a river that streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us." The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. That word Selah means to meditate or think upon that. And this morning, these next few moments, I want you to think upon that. Think about what this means for us. We get a glimpse here of course, the past and the present, the past being what the psalmist is writing, but also the present. And this is the future that we have. It's the future that Israel went through, and they were delivered from so many different things. We see that many times that men of God and women of God put their trust in God, and God delivered them through some strong things. I remember when the children of Israel were faced with Pharaoh and his chariots. There, they were between a rock and a hard place, as we think about. And there was the river and the Red Sea, and here was Pharaoh's army. And where are they going to go? What could they do? And of course, God delivered them and brought them across the Red Sea. He divided the waters. He had them walk on dry land. And then after the chariots followed them, He closed that and destroyed them. God can do this. The God of Moses and the God of our forefathers, He's the same God that we serve today. The things that we struggle and go through, there is deliverance. Here we see that as we look at this, we understand there is a future that we too will experience complete deliverance. That's complete deliverance from this present world. In Galatians, Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 4, says, who gave himself, talking about Jesus, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Jesus reminds us in John chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, he said, believe also in me. That's amazing to me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. See, Jesus has already gone ahead and prepared a place for us. We have this rescue, or this city of God, if you will, that God has done for us. And so here we see in these next three verses, it describes a period. And I think it's a period as maybe the second and third verse here might have described the time of tribulation. This is a time of deliverance for the Christian. It's the description of the city of God. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, it says, he that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. There is a city of God. And those who know Christ as their Savior are guaranteed to be in that city. There's a stream in that city. As we see, let's read the passage. As we read it, it says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. In Revelation 22, verses 1 through 3, it says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. This is what it's talking about. There is a city of God, a place prepared for us. This is our rescue in the future.